welcome back to the ring. I, of course, am your host, the one and only B.O.B., and with me, the return of the Mac, the long-lost prodigal son, podcaster extraordinaire, former CEO of his own eFed, now tag team champion of the LWF, and the one and only D-Rod has returned. How you doing today, D-Rod?
You forgot something.
Uh-oh, what's that?
The true CEO.
You can't be the CEO of a company that no longer exists.
You said CEO, but you didn't say the true CEO.
I said former CEO, which is correct.
Oh, it's great to be back.
You ready to talk some wrestling? D-Rod, also, I should say, this is also a man who gambled and ate his way from one end of the Vegas Strip to the other. How was Vegas, and, by the way?
Oh, I love Vegas. I love Vegas. I can't wait to go back. Yeah. You know, being in Alabama your whole life, you kind of get one way. But yeah, once you get out there, it's a different way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it was fun. And I won a little money. And
oh, good. Good.
Drank a few. And mm-hmm, it was a good time.
I mean, that's what Vegas is for. It's. I always tell people, even people that don't drink or even gamble, yeah, I was like, you can go to Vegas and have a good time. Like, even if you just go to shows and walk around looking at stuff, and there's so much to do. Like I said, I've been there 3 times, and I still have things that I haven't, that are on my list that I haven't crossed off yet.
Yeah, we was there for 4 days, and we didn't even touch the barrel. So.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So, I definitely want to go back.
I am glad you got to eat at Batista's, my favorite place in Vegas.
It was delicious, and the cappuccino was probably the best I've ever had. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is the perfect cap off to that meal. No matter what you eat, that cappuccino comes out, and you're like, oh, I really don't need any more. And then you take a sip of it, and you're like, oh, that's really good. Okay.
It's really good.
So. Yeah. So, like I said, so hey, you won a little bit of money. Did you walk out with more than you walked in with, or did you at least?
I did.
Nice. Good job, dude. I'd never walk out with more than we walk in with, but last time we did hit about, I think it was about 1500 at the last day or last night there. We hit big on one and then hit kind of big on two. So we were like, all right, let's go to bed. We gotta get up early. So, but yeah, if you ever get back, next time you get back out there, you got to check out the Zach, what's his face, haunted museum thing. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I need to try that out.
Anyway, let's get down to Mania weekend here, as we're going to go through the best, the worst, the unexpectedly good and the disappointing, and also touch on a little bit of the Raw after Mania, because I know it's not technically the weekend, but it still feels like that Raw after Mania is part of Mania weekend. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, and this was a really good, overall, this was a very good WrestleMania weekend, I think, especially the main two shows. And Raw last night was good. Well, it's about 2/3 of Raw last night was good. They lost me in that last hour.
Yeah.
It's like, eh.
He we'll get to it, I'm sure. But, you know, it was a great, I enjoyed Raw, but it just didn't seem like a full-on Raw after WrestleMania for me.
Yeah.
But it was a, you know, you can't complain because it was a good Raw.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a feeling that there's going to be some more surprise debuts on SmackDown this Friday too.
Yeah, they're probably saving up some, I'm sure.
So you can't have it all be on Raw.
But yeah.
Especially since Raw is the one that's not on the major television network.
True.
So, sorry. Let me get your. I'm going to get your sound adjusted just a little bit here. There we go. All right. So let's start off with the unexpectedly good. So I got 3 matches on this one. First match I want to talk about right out of the gate, because this is one that I thought I was going to hate and ended up laughing my ass off and enjoying. And that was Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, I didn't know how you was going to react to that.
When the big, I was kind of back and forth until Mark Henry's son slapped the shit out of Sami Zayn out of nowhere. And then I was like, fuck it, I'm just going with it now. And then Wee Man came out and body slammed him. Looked like Adam Cole body slamming Andre the Giant. It was great.
Well, it reminded me of when we done the, I can't remember what pay-per-view it was, but it was from the 90s, WWF, where they had the midget wrestling. Mm-hmm. And
the
then,
Doink versus course, Lawler match. The Survivor
yes,
Series.
Doink versus Lawler Survivor Series. There mm-hmm. you go.
Yeah.
And I saw Wee Man, and that just brought back some memories because it was amazing.
It was, well, I said this on the internet to a couple of people. I've been trying not to say too much about any of these matches, but this one I did. It was the only gimmick match really on the card, both nights.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was, we knew it was going to be a comedy match going in. That's what it was. Oh, yeah. Sammy took it seriously, but nobody else did. Sammy sold like you wouldn't believe for everything, which is he's really good at. I mean, I can't hate on it. It was entertaining. It was fun and funny. And if it's the only thing on the card that's like that, which it was, then okay. You know, I can deal with that. Now, if there had been, you know, six other, you know, no holds barred, you know, Hell in a Cell, Ladder, all of that stuff, then, yeah, I probably would have been like another one, and this one wasn't even serious, so on and so forth. But, yeah, I really enjoyed that one. What did you think overall? Did anything else before we move on?
I mean, it just, you know, I was sitting there at first, and I'm like, what in the world is this? And then they just kept on adding and adding to it. And I'm like, you know, crap it. I'm going to have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because every once in a while you need to have a little fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then he pulled out the rat trap. And I'm like, I'm like, well, that's a way to pin somebody.
That'll make sure their shoulders stay down.
No, but overall, I really enjoyed it. It was a fun time.
I did too. I want to say something else. Kudos to Sami Zayn because they did the bowling ball in the corner to the balls. And usually when they do that, they kind of roll the bowling ball a little slow. They did. That bowling ball was going full steam ahead.
Like, straight on. Throw that thing.
That made me kind of gave me a little rumble in the pit of my stomach there. I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Like, even if you're wearing a cup, like, that's still going to hurt.
That's
no
bad.
So, kudos to Sami Zayn. I hope he went. I hope somebody had some frozen peas waiting on him in the back there.
Yeah, some ass.
So, anyway, the next one that was unexpectedly good, the Mysterios versus Miz and Logan Paul.
Yeah.
This one, I wasn't expecting much out of Logan Paul, because I think he's kind of a goof, but he actually showed out. I love that he did the Eddie Guerrero stuff and all the heat he got with that.
Yes.
Miz and him getting the win was completely unexpected. I thought Mysterios were going to win that the whole way. And then Miz turning on him. I thought it was very, very well done. And another celebrity coming in and looking good in the ring.
Yeah. You know, it's classic Miz, you know, for him to turn on somebody. And I thought they executed it well. And you're right. I mean, Logan Paul, he got the crowd fired up when he was doing the Eddie stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want.
Yep.
If, you know, first time being in the ring, I mean, to get that sort of reaction, you know, which, of course, you know, Bad Bunny got it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was because Bad Bunny, man, he went in there and killed it. And Logan Paul, he went in there and killed it.
And it's funny, both of those guys worked with Miz to get that done.
Exactly. You put the Miz in there, you know what's going to come about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he's one of the best. We've been tearing CM Punk apart because he called MJF a low-rent Miz. And now a lot of us are like, well, Miz is actually more accomplished than CM Punk is.
At this point,
you know? And all the stuff he complained about in the pipe bomb, not being on souvenir cups or programs or doing movies or doing late night shows, is all stuff that Miz does. So, and Miz main event at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So there you go. My man, The Miz. The third one that I thought was, and I hate to put this in unexpectedly good, but that's really how I feel about it, was the SmackDown Women's title match from night one.
Uh-huh.
Because it's Charlotte, but it's also Ronda. And I wasn't expecting much out of Ronda. What did you think?
You know, when Ronda first started and in the Triple H and when she got in the ring and her whole run, really, you could tell that she was putting something in.
Yeah.
And I just really didn't see it this time around. But until this matchup, like you said, I wasn't really looking forward to it at all, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I know Charlotte can work, but Ronda, she just didn't seem into it this time.
Mm-hmm.
But they went in there and had a scrap of a fight, and I enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, I did too. There were a couple of moves, especially when Ronda did that arm drag off the top. I was like, oh, she's going to pull Charlotte's shoulder completely out of socket with that. Yeah. Like, that just looks dangerous. Mm-hmm. I hope she only does that every once in a while, because that's a dangerous move. That's one of those ones where it's just a matter of time before somebody gets hurt.
Dangerous.
But, yeah, it was a really good match, and Ronda brought some fire to it in the match. She came out with her game face on pretty much, which was nice. That's one of the things I think, you know, the host last week, Kevin, was talking about, is she's not Ronda Rousey. You know what I mean?
No.
She's just another baby face that goes out there and smiles. And this one, in this match, she felt like Ronda Rousey. Of course, Charlotte worked with her and got the best match out of her she possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked the finish, that there was no big finisher maneuver. Charlotte just hit that big boot and Ronda was down. You know, kind of came out. It came a little bit out of nowhere, but you knew they were going home as soon as the ref went down. You're like, this isn't going to go on much longer with the ref being down. So that was the unexpectedly good matches. I only had the three. Anything that you, well, I guess we'll just keep going. If you feel like I've missed anything by the end, then you can chime in.
I will.
How about that?
I will.
Next, the number two category. These are the disappointing matches of the weekend.
Okay.
The first one I have is Ciampa and D'Angelo from Stand and Deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch Stand and Deliver?
I did watch Stand and Deliver. But I'll tell you this, Bob, and I've been a wrestling fan a long time,
mm-hmm.
and I can watch a lot of wrestling. I've watched a lot of bad wrestling. I've watched a lot of great wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it was, if it was just because I just got back from Vegas or what it was. I just could not get into Stand and Deliver.
Yeah, I mean, I could not
get into it, and you know I'm an NXT buff,
mm-hmm.
but I just could not get into it. Ciampa and D'Angelo, I mean, I don't know what's happening. It looks like Ciampa's moving on or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not a big fan of the new, but that's just personally me, because I was a black and gold all the way through. Mm-hmm. I love Triple H and everything he's done with the brand. And we could do a whole podcast on how NXT has changed. But it's just not what it used to be, and I've lost my vibe for it, to be honest.
Oh, well, I mean, I haven't even been watching the weekly show. The only reason I even really made sure to really watch and pay attention to this pay-per-view is because I knew I'd be reviewing it, or I probably would have watched it with the sound off and just like listen to music, kind of half paid attention to it and messed around on Twitter while it was on, you know what I mean? But one thing is, I don't like the whole D'Angelo character. It's a caricature.
No.
It's a bad caricature of a mob guy, an Italian guy. Like, it's, you know, a little insulting to our intelligence, but I mean, that's, you know, it is what it is. this is what they're doing in NXT now. Of course, I love Ciampa, and I thought him and D'Angelo were cooking for a while in this match.
They were.
But then D'Angelo reaches in the stairs and pulls out a crowbar, and I'm just like, nope, you just ruined everything you did in that whole match. Because one, why is there a crowbar stuffed behind the stairs? How did you put it there? Did you know that this was opportunity was going to come up in this match? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Number two, you're introducing a foreign object into a match that doesn't need a foreign object in it, you know? And then D'Angelo gets the win, which, oh, and also he does the DDT to Ciampa on the outside of the ring and doesn't go for the count out victory immediately. Yeah. Why do you have to bring him in to pin him? You know, you could have gotten Ciampa out of that still looking strong going up to the main roster, and D'Angelo would have something to crow about winning, beating Ciampa, you know. And then the other baby faces would be like, well, you didn't pin him, but he'd be like, well, I knocked him out and he couldn't get back into the ring. And I think that that's about, you know what I mean? Like,
they could have done it better.
You get more mileage out of that, I think, than you do. Like, I just beat him flat in the middle of the ring. Well, whoop-de-doo, you know? So
you've got to get both. I mean, in that situation, I understand D'Angelo, they want to, whatever, push him on 2.0, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You can get him over. You can also get Ciampa over if he's moving up to the main roster. There's a way to go about that.
I mean, I know Ciampa's on his way out. And he's doing the job, you know, before he leaves, which is fine. I mean, I have no problem with that. But I think the way that they did it in the finish of that match, but once they introduced the crowbar, it all started going downhill for me.
Yeah.
So that one was disappointing. The other one that was disappointing for me on that match was Walter, and I'm no longer going to call him Walter because he doesn't even look like Walter anymore. So Gunther and LA Knight. He's not the same guy in NXT 2.0. I mean, they made him lose weight, which is the worst thing you could do for him, because now he just looks like just another tall, skinny dude. Does that make any sense?
I don't know what they've done. I don't know what he's done. But I'm telling you, I watched 2.0 maybe a month or two ago, and he looked fine then. And now I watched his pay-per-view, and he is, like, slimmed down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't know what – I don't understand what the premise of it is, if it's – I don't understand the whole thing, but you got Walter, and they changed his name to Gunther, and now he's lost all this weight. Me and you have had podcasts in the past when we started this thing, and we've praised Walter all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But now the tables have turned. And that shows you just how quick the tables can turn in wrestling.
That's true. Well, the thing is, and this is something that they did with something else. Well, we're not even talking about that one. So I'll go and say this. They did it with Cameron Grimes. They cut all of his body hair off, and they cut his big old beard off, and they took away what made him special. You take away all of Gunther's girth, all of his, like, he had this massive, huge presence. Yeah, he's a little bit flabby because he's a huge, just, you know, farm strong dude.
Mm-hmm.
And you take that away, and you take away what makes him special, what makes people tune in and say, oh, look at that, you know, look at that guy. Like, he's just a ginormous. You know, he's a big beast of a human being, and now it just doesn't feel like that. You know, and it wasn't a bad match, but I'm also tired of watching LA Knight lose. Like, that's all he does is lose. And the guy has so much potential to be a superstar. Mm-hmm. It's like, how can the WWE of all places fuck up LA Knight, a guy who could be the next freaking Rock?
He's got so much charisma.
You know, it's just
it's amazing, but you know, it is what it is when it comes to WWE.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's very disappointing because I couldn't wait for Walter to come over, and instead, I got Gunther, and it's not the same. I ordered Valter. I ordered Valter off of Wish.com, and we got Gunther. Well,
you got the same thing going on with Pete Dunne.
Yeah. We'll get to that match. Believe me, we're gonna get to that one. Any other thoughts before we move on?
No, let's rock on.
All right, the other disappointing match for me, and I think this might just be a taste issue for me, but I just couldn't get into it, was Edge and AJ Styles. Maybe I thought it was gonna be so a lot. Really, really very good, and it just ended up being meh. But I couldn't get into it. I think I'm just not an Edge fan. I think that's really what it comes down to, is I don't really care for Edge's work as much.
And, Edge is an acquired taste, I can tell you that. But here's the thing, Bob, and I've had this thought the past couple of days, and I didn't know whether to say it or not till you just said this. You look at AJ Styles, and I love AJ Styles, always have.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at his big-time matches like this one,
mm-hmm.
and also against Shinsuke, also at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Both of these were letdowns, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
This was one of those matches that I talked about earlier, that I had that feeling that I hadn't stand and deliver. This is one of those feelings. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't get into it.
Okay. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Why? I don't know why. Because I like Edge. I love AJ. But I loved Shinsuke. I loved AJ back when they done their WrestleMania match. And I couldn't get into that one. I couldn't get into this one.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Because AJ has had great matches at WrestleMania.
Yes, he has.
I think AJ needs the right kind of dance partner. I don't know how to put it any better than that. I think that Edge just, I think it's a clash of styles. I really do. And not in the, oh, it's a classic clash of styles way, you know, or a styles clash way.
Hit the drums.
I think that's what it is. I think Edge, I think you're right. I think he is an acquired taste. And I was never around during his first run, so I'm, you know what I mean? I like Edge, but for me, Edge's best match that I've seen is the one with him and Randy Orton, which was supposed to be the greatest wrestling match ever, because it was, it made sense, and it was a good wrestling match. I think this was a little all over the place, and some of the stuff didn't make sense. And, you know, I didn't like that. Again, AJ got the calf crusher on Edge, but Edge quit selling the leg for a while.
Yeah.
Just, you know, little things like that, you know, bother me anyway, but it was a letdown. It was a letdown, because I thought this was going to be one of the best matches of the night. Ended up not being.
Yeah.
So those are my three disappointing matches.
Now, I totally agree.
Let's get into the best of the weekend. We're saving the worst for last.
Oh, that's classic Bob.
So, let's see, best of the weekend. Let's start with let's start with the one that I told everybody wasn't going to happen, and then it ended up happening. I ate crow for the whole match, so I had to go rewatch it. Seth versus Cody Rhodes.
Oh my goodness. Me and you, people probably are shocked by this, but we talk outside of podcasting, and we talk wrestling and other things, and me and Bob chatted, and I told him, I said, you know, I think people are going to know Cody, but I just don't think he's mainstream.
Yeah.
Well, of course, we were both wrong, and
very, very wrong.
We both had to eat some crow on that one when I saw the reaction he was having.
Mm-hmm.
Like, holy crap, this place is about to explode.
People were throwing babies in the air. They were. You know, when they, as soon as you know, you heard wrestling has more than one royal family, it was just boom, like holy cow. And then he came out, and the entrance was, you know, and it's funny, you know, that entrance is pretty much the same entrance he had on AEW, but in WWE, it looked like it belonged. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it looks like it was making him a star, whereas in AEW, it looked like it was completely out of place because AEW doesn't do anything big like that. So.
No.
I don't know. I just, but, the, and then the match itself was fucking, it, sorry, pardon my language. The match itself was just, it was really, really good. Like, they knocked it out of the park. It was physical. Cody got, I think he got a little mouse under his eye there, and his forehead looked like he had been, like it had been beat on. You know, him and Seth put on a, had a great match. And I just, I can't praise it anymore. They knocked it out of the park.
The match was amazing. I love the callback to Stardust because, like Corey Graves said, it's kind of like him shedding his skin because he wasn't happy with the Stardust character. He's now back in the character, you know, he wants.
Yep.
And he just had an amazing match, so it was like shedding skin.
Oh, yeah.
And another thing I love the ending. I loved Cody doing the Dusty Rhodes bionic elbow and then hitting the crossroads. I love the finish. And it just all around good wrestling match, which I appreciate nowadays because, it, you know, I mean.
We don't get that many of them.
We do not get many.
No. So that was, that was one of the best ones of night one, I think. Also, and this is something that Jim's touched on, but I want to say this too. Cody did what you need to do when you leave WWE. Because you see a lot of these guys leaving WWE, going to AEW, and they have the exact same gimmick that they had in WWE. They didn't really change anything about themselves. They're just, well, I'm going to go to AEW and doing what I was doing. Cody went to AEW and did something completely different than he was doing in WWE. Like something like, and it got him over when he came back to WWE, because WWE's like, well, this is not what we thought we had. So, you know what I mean? Like, go, when you leave the company, go do something different, because if it wasn't working there, it's not really going to work anywhere else any more than was already working there.
No, not at all.
You know, and, or you end up, you know, in the House of Black. You know. Spraying mist at everybody but who you're trying to hit.
I think you'd be a fan of House of Black, Bob.
No, I mean, I like, I love Malakai Black, but all of his matches, he's got to do something like silly in the middle of them that doesn't, like some psychological torture thing that completely takes you out of the match, when it could just be he's a guy who kicks ass and he's a little spooky.
Yeah.
So that was, but yeah, so on and so forth. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Let's get on to the next match. Let's do the NXT title match from Stand and Deliver between Dolph Ziggler and Bron Breakker. What a match. Man, Bron gets better and better every time I see him.
Yes. I love the match. That was the one match that I actually had my attention. Because Bron, I mean, when he started out, everybody was like, well, this isn't going to last. This is, they didn't like the name and everything. I'm like, give it a chance because he does have that Steiner blood running through him.
Oh, yeah.
And it shows because he handles himself like a champ in the ring. His presence is amazing. And I was a fan since he started. I'm still a fan. And I really hope, and I think it's going to lead to this one day, him becoming a world champion.
Oh, I think it's only a matter of, this isn't an if, it's a win. Unless he does something really dumb or gets injured, like knock on wood that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, unless one of those two things happens, he's going to be a world champ. There's no way. Like, I thought they put the NXT belt on him a little early, and now I'm like, well, when is he going to debut on Raw? You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was just a good match, well put together. I loved the finish. I liked them keeping the belt on Dolph. Unfortunately, we'll get to that a little bit later.
Yeah.
I just like having Dolph and Bobby Roode or Robert Roode down in NXT anyway. I think it needs it. One, everybody there in NXT needs to work with Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode because you're going to learn so much more from them than you will anybody else, probably on the roster, because they're both great workers, true professionals. They will teach you everything that they know, and Dolph Ziggler knows about everything there is to know about professional wrestling. So I think that if they could they could find a way to keep them down there, then I would. And honestly, I'm still think that Dom and Ray need to go down to NXT and work with that tag division because there's talent. There's talent there, but nobody's getting the most out of the talent that's there.
No.
You know what I mean? So if Ray could go down there and kind of work with those guys, or even if Bobby and Ziggles decide to be in the tag division for a while, that's fine too. Just somebody, Dom needs to go down there anyway just to
Dom, get yes, better. Dom needs to go. And, you know, you got some pretty good tag team down there that could work. But they need that expertise in the ring to make it work. And And they're all green.
Oh yeah.
And then you've got, I was a pretty big fan of, I thought, after seeing them debut, and then it just kind of went down the pot after that, just not to make any jokes there, but, MSK. They're not the best.
They're spot monkeys, and it's fun. Yeah. They're super athletic. Don't get me wrong. And Desmond Xavier or whatever his name is. That's his name, right? The black guy.
Yeah,
not the one with the bad prison tattoos.
No.
I mean, he's a star, but if all you're going to do is the same stuff that Ricochet's doing, the same stuff that the Young Bucks do, and the same stuff that everybody does now, how is that setting you apart? You know what I mean?
Ooh, it's not.
You know, you're just another little flippy guy. You're a vanilla midget, as Kevin Nash liked to say. And, you know, who would have ever thought Kevin Nash? I'd be quoting Kevin Nash, but there you go.
Statement. It kind of caught me off guard, to be honest. Like, Bob said, you're quoting Kevin Nash. My God.
But, it is what it is. But, yeah, that was the NXT title match was a good match. Now, let's get to the we're going to do the rundown here from night one and night two because there were two appearances. First one we're going to go for one of the best things of WrestleMania weekend, Kevin Owens and Stone Cold Steve Austin KO show / no holds barred match.
Oh my goodness.
How much fun was that?
That was too much fun. I've always been a Stone Cold fan, but Bob, I'm not old. Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up with Stone Cold. I didn't grow up when he was in the doing the GM thing with Eric Bischoff. I mean, I was just a little boy.
Yeah.
So I never got to watch him live, but him coming back and doing appearances, I'd watch his old stuff on YouTube. I just loved Stone Cold.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing finally him get to wrestle live was like a dream come true for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I know he's nowhere near what he once was, that's a fact, but Kevin Owens made it work. They done the best they could. He ran his tank out, and by golly, I was shocked. Him out there taking suplexes on concrete.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, my God, they're giving it all they got, and it was amazing.
It was so much fun. When Kevin got on the four-wheeler and couldn't figure out how to start it, and Stone Cold knocks him out and then drove him up to the top of the ramp. My wife was like, he's gonna put Kevin Owens on that four-wheeler, isn't he? I was like, yeah, he probably is. And it gave him suplexes on the stage, and then when he punched Kevin Owens, and Kevin just kind of rolled his way down the ramp. Like, I don't know. It was good. Again, it was. Was it a classic wrestling match?
No, by no means. It was not.
But it was Stone Cold Steve Austin being Stone Cold Steve Austin and just kicking the shit out of Kevin Owens and drinking beer the whole time and just being, you know, just doing what he did. And I thought it was fantastic. It was an A-plus match for me. There was that whole night one, actually. If you really look at it, and I've said this too, but I really think night one was all straight wrestling matches from beginning to end, with the exception of the Stone Cold thing. But, you know, like, that wasn't even really, we didn't even think that was going to be a match. We thought that was just going to be him beating up Kevin Owens in the ring and then, you know, giving a beer bath. I didn't think that was going to do. And they went into the crowd and everything. So
I thought a stunner and that's it.
Yeah.
We've got a lot more than that.
So, but night one was all straight wrestling matches, no multi-man matches, no multi-team matches, just one-on-one. But now we're going to get into a little bit of night two, and this all kind of runs together. Theory versus McAfee.
Oh, man.
That was a great match.
I tell you, Bob, I love Seth versus Cody, and I know we'll probably get to this to the end, but I want to say that Pat McAfee and Austin Theory had my favorite match of the weekend.
Hmm.
Okay. And that's, you know, some people's going to be shocked by that statement, but I loved it. And I thought, for Pat McAfee, you know, we saw him against Adam Cole. We know he could go.
Who do we see him against?
Oh, Wee Man.
The Incredibles freaking Cole.
Yeah. So we know McAfee can go, but Austin Theory, I think you tweeted something about this, and I liked it. Put away the phone, let him wrestle. Mm-hmm. And he can become a big star.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's already on his way to being a star. He's going to be a mega star. He's got charisma. He can talk. He can wrestle. And when he wrestles like somebody that's been doing it for 20 years already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even little things like when somebody does a drop down or something and he's not expecting them to, he like looks around like he doesn't know where they're at. Like just little nuanced things that he does in the ring that set him apart from so many people that are 5-10 years older than him in the business. McAfee is a absolute natural. When he jumped up onto those ropes, me and my wife were both like, what the... Like that's over 5 foot. Those ropes are 5 foot tall. 5 foot tall. So that's a 5 foot box jump that he just boop, jumped up there.
He made it look easy.
Yeah, and I mean I know Theory caught him when he did it to help him balance, but it came off smooth, and you had to actually rewatch it in slow motion to be like, oh, that's where you see what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So they hit it well. That whole match from beginning to end was just. It was good. It was really good. And McAfee got the win, which I was not expecting.
No.
But and this runs into the next thing. I'm just going to call this all one segment. The Vince McAfee Stone Cold Steve Austin segment. Because that's the only way to do it, you know.
We get a whole segment for it.
You know. Well, I mean, in WrestleMania, because that's what it was. Because there's Vince, and of course, he takes off his shirt and wrestles McAfee, which I thought just cracked me up. I was like, he's doing this for the fans. He's not. He doesn't need to do this, you know.
No, he doesn't.
But he did. And I got to tell you, man, for almost 80 years old, on his way to 80, that man is still in fantastic shape.
And he is.
You know?
Him hitting them clotheslines. So I'm like, he's still got a little bit in him.
Then, of course, he punts the ball into McAfee's face, and McAfee sells it like death. And he gets the win. And, of course, that he's down there celebrating with Theory. And I told my wife, I was like, oh, the only reason he's having this match is Stone Cold's going to come out here.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the glass breaks. And here comes Stone Cold. And we get one last Mr. McMahon, Stone Cold, Steve Austin interaction. And one last stunner. Now, I'm not going to say anything about the stunner. Vince couldn't sell the stunner right when he was 40 years old. He can't sell the stunner right now that he's almost 80. But
Vince, he can't sell it. He just can't.
But Theory sold it.
Yeah, he made up for it, and so did McAfee.
That's one of my favorite stunner sells of all time, because he just stood straight up, blowing beer out of his mouth, and fell a flat back bump, flat backwards, like he was dead.
Did you see the camera angle when Stone Cold's headed out, and McAfee's on the ground, he's got his
drinking the beer.
Shagging it.
Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah. Like, so that just told that whole segment. And people were complaining about it online. I'm like, the whole reason Vince did that was to give the fans, let them see Stone Cold on night two. Because I would be very disappointed if I bought a ticket to WrestleMania and I didn't get to see Stone Cold, knowing that he was going to be there and doing stuff.
Yeah.
So that was the whole reason. Vince didn't do that for himself. He doesn't want the spot. He could care less.
No.
He doesn't even want to be on TV. You know what I mean? Like, he's doing this. He did that for the fans, and they appreciate it. I appreciate it, and I will never say another bad thing about Vincent Kennedy McMahon ever. And I don't ever want to hear anybody talk about him having dementia, because there's no way. Between his introduction to Undertaker's speech and being out there and having a match with McAfee at 76 years old, bullshit.
I totally agree. I love Vince. I understand that, whatever, you can hold grudges and you can say this about him, whatever. Crap that. Crap you. He's a legend and he deserves respect.
Well, and also, I think the whole Vince dementia thing, I think a large part of that is him playing up for the cameras in the back.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's working us all. He's working all of us, which is what Vince does. And I think, to a certain extent, there's a lot of people that don't understand that Vincent Kennedy McMahon is not actually the Mr. McMahon character.
No.
I don't think that people understand that or can make that distinction. Like, that's not who Vince actually is.
No.
You know, because honestly, other than people that are holding grudges for shit that they don't need to hold grudges on, and honestly, you know, if Bret Hart can forgive Vince, then
I think anybody else can.
Screw everybody else. And I've never heard anybody say a bad word about him other than people that probably shouldn't have even been in the position that they were in the company in the first place.
True.
You know, like, you talk to anybody that was around Vince for a large period of time, they don't talk bad about him. Yeah, he's quirky and he's super rich and he doesn't understand a lot of things that go on, but that doesn't make him a bad person. That just makes him kind of sheltered in the rich life, so to speak.
And
if I was a billionaire, I'd probably be that way too.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly.
All right. So let's get to another one of the best, the main event of night two, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. What a slobber knocker.
It was a slobber knocker.
Man.
I don't know if you saw that Kimura afterwards, but man, I tell you, Roman took that like a champ.
Well, yeah, because he actually had to pop his shoulder back into place to hold the two belts above his head. Yeah. And if you've ever had a dislocated shoulder, it is, one, it's painful to put back in place, and two, even once it's back in place, it's hard to lift anything above your head, let alone a belt. And those belts are heavy. Don't let anybody fool you. Those things, like even my IC belt, and it's plastic, it's not even metal. That thing, you know, it doesn't weigh much at first, but you carry it around for 20 minutes and you're like, okay, I want to take this off. So, but yeah, they did. They put on a great match. People are complaining, oh, it was all F5s and Superman punches and spears. Well, what did you think it was going to be? It wasn't going to be a technical masterpiece. I wasn't expecting that. I wanted to see two big guys hit each other with power moves until one of them couldn't get up. And that's what happened.
If you want to go watch Flippy Floppy Crap, you can go watch AEW.
Yep. We'll see. And here's the thing. Even in AEW, they might throw finishers at each other for the whole match. But none of them affect anybody because they get right back up. So it's like, you know, oh, you're going to hit him with a pile driver through a table, but 30 seconds later he's on offense and he's flipping around like nothing happened. So,
yep.
CM Punk.
You're going to have some CM Punk funkies after you.
Oh, I've already got him after me. Every time his name comes up, I talk about how The Miz is better than CM Punk, and they hate it. Oh, they hate it. I got people telling me to go touch grass and I don't understand professional wrestling and that Miz being better than Miz even being compared to CM Punk is the stupidest thing they've ever heard. And I'm like, no, I don't think it's that stupid.
No. You got to know the crowd you're dealing with, Bob.
It works for that audience, D-Rock.
Yeah, work for them.
And they work for it. Okay, so now the best, the absolute best, my favorite match of all WrestleMania weekend, the Raw Women's title match, Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair.
That was
good. They put on a clinic. They put on absolute clinic. Just move for move. It started out with wrestling moves and them trying to pin each other and get it over with early.
Mm-hmm.
Becky got a lot of offense, but got super frustrated. Bianca got some comebacks, but Becky would cut her off. The only thing about that match I did not like was when Bianca got the manhandle slam onto the steps.
Yeah.
And instead of selling the whole way through the count like she's trying to get back into the ring, which is what she should have done if she was going to beat the count anyway, she just pops up at 9 and jumps back into the ring. And I was like, well, that's not great. But, I mean, if that's the only thing that I can point out in the match that I thought was really flawed or wrong, other than the botch with the Becky thing, and I think that was, one, I don't think Becky's – I've never seen her do that move before, so – no. I don't think she knew exactly where it was going to land, and I don't think Bianca was quite in the right place. If she had been like a step forward or so, it might have ended up being more like a meteora where she could have fallen backwards with Becky caught her legs. But however, that's fun. You know, it gives Bianca even more cred because she came out there on Raw with a damn black eye. So
yeah, she did.
You know, what do you think?
I love the match, and I love the callback at the beginning. You know, you talked about they's trying to get the quick pin. We got the callback. Becky trying to hit the manhandle slam. What happened at SummerSlam? The 1-2-3, and Bianca, of course. You know, we got past that this day.
Yeah.
And I love when they call back stuff like that. They put on a clinic. Favorite women's match of the weekend.
Oh yeah,
bar none.
I'm sorry. Did you have anything else to say? I was ready to move on. I cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I do want to say, and this wasn't technically on the weekend. This was Friday night, But the best tag match of the weekend was the Briscoes versus FTR. And the people can shit on it all they want because Dax is talking about how they had the... I don't think they had the best match, but they had the best tag match. Now, that doesn't leave a lot of room because there weren't very... There weren't hardly any good tag matches this weekend anyway.
No.
But, you know, like, you're... Okay, well, you were better than the Mysterios and Miz and Paul. Good job, guys. No.
Yeah.
But no, it was a really good match, and it didn't break down into a brawl on the outside of the ring, which is what I was worried about with the Briscoes. Mm-hmm. And the FTR won. They're the new Ring of Honor champions, I guess, and they're facing the middle aged Bucks tomorrow night. But I wanted to call that one some attention to that one because not a lot of people saw it. So
yeah, I've still got to go watch it.
Oh, it was on a Ring of Honor pay-per-view, and who the hell's watching Ring of Honor pay-per-views, you know?
Well, that's a true point.
So, all right, here we go. We're back to the worst.
Oh, here we go.
The worst of the weekend. number one, the NXT Women's title match.
Oh, Lord.
It was a spot fest. That wasn't a match. That was not a match. That was a bunch of people doing shit to each other.
But here's the... I don't understand, Bob, why... And I know you got to get your talent in, whatever. But you can do a one-on-one. It's not going to hurt you. Why in the world do we have to tie in all these girls together? That's all. What's making a fatal flaw? You know why?
Don't you, dude? You're preaching. You're asking the wrong person that because I have no idea. Especially when you got freaking Kaylee Ray on your roster and she doesn't have a belt. Now, I also, this is the only reason why I want to talk about this being the worst of the week. And what the hell did they do to Kaylee Ray? Why is she carrying around a damn baseball bat? She don't need no baseball bat. She's a badass without it.
She's a fan of Sting.
You know. Oh, is that really what it is? I mean, I don't
know.
Okay.
No.
I mean, even if that's what it is, I don't care. She doesn't need a baseball bat. It's stupid. And number two, she's freaking Scottish, so it should at least be a cricket bat because they don't play baseball in Scotland.
No. That's just another outlandish thing that they're trying to get over.
That's a Pritchardism. I know
that is a Pritchard.
Because she's and I know what it is because she's skinny. Because she's not because she's not like super. I mean, I think she's pretty, but she's not super beautiful, but she's tall and she's skinny, and they're like, well, she needs an equalizer. Meanwhile, Io Shirai is running around beating the crap out of everybody, and she's 4'5" and 110 pounds soaking wet. So what do I know? And, you know, just having her be a baby face. I mean, I understand that she, you know, you got your top heel and Mandy and her group or whatever, but Kaylee Ray doesn't need to work as a baby face with a baseball bat. That doesn't make any sense anyway.
No.
You know, let her win the title, turn her heel, and let her be the top heel in the company. And Mandy Rose can go do Mandy Rose things. She can start her OnlyFans. Her and Tony Storm can create OnlyFans content together. You know.
That's a good one, Bob.
So it pisses me off. Like I'm just
you need to tweet that. Or have you already?
No, I haven't already, but it makes me mad because I see these people in NXT UK and I'm like, oh, these people are awesome. And then they get them to NXT and I'm like, what the fuck did you do? How did you fuck this guy up? How did you fuck her up? Like, it's just, it's so dumb, you know?
It is.
Worst of the weekend. This is my second worst of the weekend. Well, yeah, this is my second worst of the weekend. A New Day versus Sheamus and Ridge Holland.
Yeah.
What was that? Like, that wasn't even a match either.
Well, you know, they took it off the first night because of running out of time or whatever. And if it was going to be this, Bob.
That's a Raw main event or a SmackDown main event.
Yeah, put it like that. I mean, what the crap are you putting something like that on a WrestleMania for?
Well, not only that, but if you're going to have the New Day come out in their Big E tribute gear.
Yeah, tribute gear.
Who just got his neck broken, might never wrestle again, probably will never be able to wrestle again because the bones that he fractured usually don't heal right. So there's a good chance he'll never get in a wrestling ring again. So they come out in his tribute gear and you squash him. Like, yep. That wasn't even a competitive match. That was a straight up squash match.
That's what it was. And you had Butch running around the ring like a wild Indian.
Oh yeah, like, they've screwed up Pete Dunne now too. Like, his Pete Dunne was always an intimidating little bit of a hothead. But not like that. That's over the top comedic, like,
that's just comedy garbage.
That's what they're doing. I wouldn't be surprised if Bruce Pritchard was responsible for that either. We'll just blame I blame everything on Bruce Pritchard. If I get stuck in traffic, it's somehow Bruce Pritchard's fault.
I would put money that probably you're right on that, Bob.
So, or something. I don't know. Maybe Vince was watching Peaky Blinders or something, and he was like, you know what we need? We need some turn-of-the-century Irish hooligans.
Oh, goodness.
So anyway, absolute positive worst of the weekend. And this one is just a category: multi-team tag title matches.
Oh, a category of its own.
That was the worst thing of this whole weekend was the three multi-team tag title matches. NXT had a three-man. Raw had a three-man. And the women's tag team titles was a four. That was actually the worst of all of them, was a four-team bullshit scramble with, like, three girls in it that can actually work, and everybody else is mediocre to awful. It was just, like, the only thing I liked about the women's tag match was the, like, 30 seconds where Rhea Ripley and Sasha were in there with each other.
Yeah.
After that, I didn't care about any of it.
You put Rhea and Sasha in a one-on-one, you got money.
Yep.
But you throw them in there like wild turkeys with 20 other girls.
Mm-hmm. Well, even if you had just done Rhea and Liv versus Sasha and Naomi, I would have been okay with that. That's fine. That's a good match. You know, because, you know, at least Sasha and Rhea can work. Liv and Naomi can, you know, they're all right. They're not world beaters, never going to be title contenders in the singles, but they're not bad for a tag team. If you could beat Liv up for a long time if you could just, you know, plug your ears and get used to her screaming every 3 seconds. You know.
Yeah.
But, I don't get it. I don't understand why all of these tag team title matches had to be multi-teams. Like, I know you want to get everybody on there you can, but like you were saying earlier, it's better with a one-on-one tag match, you know?
Yeah.
And there's no reason.
Simple is better.
You know, Natalya didn't need to be on Wrestle. Carmella and Zelina don't even need to be in the company. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. Carmella is awful. She is the worst wrestler in the company. And Zelina is, I mean, she does like three moves that look really good, but that's pretty much all she can do because she's tiny. Again, she's 4 foot nothing, you know, like put her in there, put her in a match against Wee Man. Then you might have
Wee Man versus Zelina Vega. Now that would sell some tickets.
Mm-hmm. But you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I know.
Just, there's no way to make it work. It's doomed by its very concept, and the execution's always terrible. So,
yes.
Did I miss anything that you wanted to talk about?
We talked about my classic Stone Cold and Vince McMahon. Mm-hmm. So, I love that, but we covered everything pretty much.
Sweet. Yeah, because everything else was just mediocre. And I'm not going to, you know.
It ain't even worth talking about, really.
Yeah, Drew versus Baron Corbin. What do I need to say about that? You know, that was a mediocre match. The opening match, night one, mediocre match, you know. The ladder match for the NXT North American title, mid.
Yeah, maybe.
You know. Yeah, the only thing that made that match good was Santos Escobar knows how to work a ladder match. We've seen him with Jordan Devlin have probably one of the best ladder matches I've seen in a long, long time. And we had and you had Cameron Grimes in it, which I love Cameron Grimes, but Cameron Grimes doesn't make up for all the rest of it. Now, where's my Raw? Oh, here it is. I got to go back a page. Yes, folks, I'm shuffling through paper.
Hey, this is back to the ring. This is old school.
It is. It is. This is old school as it gets. Yeah, this might actually be the last back to the ring for a while because I'm about to start a job on Monday.
Oh, really?
Yep. I got a friend of mine works for a t-shirt shop.
Yeah.
And they're the guy who runs their automatic press for the t-shirts. walked out on them.
Oh man.
And they need somebody like ASAP. So I told them Monday I could start. I haven't done it in like 15 years, but it's like riding a bike. It's super easy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start doing that and I'll see how it goes, but I'm not going to work myself double overtime to put out content.
No.
So, but we'll see. I'll still do the LWF. Got a couple of other people I'm getting ready to premiere over the next 2 days. I sound like Tony Khan. I'm always making these major announcements about premieres for the LWF.
You're the Tony Khan of E-Fans.
Oh, don't say that.
I hope you're proud.
If I ever feel like that's what I'm doing, I'm just going to shut the LWF down and walk away. But I won't call myself the CEO of it after I've walked away.
The true CEO.
Anyway, moving on to the Raw after Mania. I just got pluses and minuses. I didn't give anything grades or whatnot. So honestly, we opened up with one of the best parts of the whole show. That promo by Cody Rhodes. Man. Like it was powerful. He actually said stuff and he meant it and it made sense. And it was a coherent story that he was telling.
Mm-hmm.
I think that just shows that WWE is where Cody can do his best work because he actually has writers backstage that can help him with his promos. I think that was the biggest thing in AEW is nobody would really sit down and help him get his ideas in order for that. Now, I'm not saying that that's a good or a bad thing. That just kind of is what it is, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's not all – this isn't all WWE. His presentation is WWE, but
yeah,
that promo felt real and –
yeah,
it felt real right up until the time where he started talking about how he's going to win the championship, and that's where the switch flipped, but you didn't notice because everything else up to that was real life talk.
Yeah, he just see a difference. You know, you can look at somebody, Bob, and see a difference from one side to the other.
Well, I think this is...
You can tell Cody is doing his best right now. And I think he's going to continue to do that.
And there's a couple of things that I've been thinking since this, because I want to kind of just get this all out there. One, I think Cody was a lot like Flair when WCW ended and he went to WWE. I think he lost a lot of his confidence. I think he lost a lot of his mojo because nobody in AEW was really supporting anything that he did. because yes. it's not their style. It's not the Young Bucks style. And I'll guarantee you the Young Bucks talk about everybody behind their back to Tony Khan, good or bad.
Probably.
Two, I think the reason Cody did that crazy ass ladder match and the lighting himself on fire and going through a table was because he'd always wanted to do that. And he knew that when he went to WWE, he'd never get the chance to do it.
Yeah.
So he was like, fuck it, I'm going to light myself on fire and go through a table because I'll never get an opportunity to do that again because I'm going to be with WWE for years and years and years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so, and yeah.
It's a different environment.
Yes, I think WWE believes in Cody. I think Vince seeing Cody kind of come into his own as himself mm-hmm. believes in Cody more. And also, you know, they're going to give him some sort of push because they want all that information on the AEW behind-the-scenes stuff. And they want somebody that, you know, when they're negotiating with AEW guys that you know, Cody can go to and be like, look, I know you've heard a lot of stories about what it's like here, but that's, you know, a bunch of bullshit. Or, you know, I want you to come back. I mean, hell, Dean Ambrose's contract is up in 2 months.
I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back, to be honest.
If you have an opportunity to get the third member of the Shield back in the fold, you do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, you can kind of rehab his character a little bit. Let him be Jon Moxley, but for God's sakes, make him do something that isn't so fucking over the top, serious, violent, dumb all mm-hmm. the time. You know, that's the one thing about the Dean Ambrose character. Yeah, he was batshit crazy and he would beat the hell out of people, but he'd also kind of had that Deadpool side where he would do goofy shit just to do goofy shit because he got a tickle out of it, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it lessened, it kind of let up on that, like, I'm gonna kill you and break your arm off and make you bleed and all of that, because that stuff's over the top anyway. You're not going to do that stuff.
No,
you know, you're going to, you know, hit somebody with a DDT and they might, you know, get cut open from that, but you're not going to like rip somebody's arm off and beat them with it. That's just dumb. So anyway, I think Cody is there 100% behind Cody, and I'm kind of here for it. And after all the shit I've said about Cody over the past year and a half, I never thought I would be in this position where I would be like, yeah, Cody Rhodes, go Cody. But yeah, Cody Rhodes, go Cody.
I never, you know, but you know, that's just what I said earlier. Things change.
Mm-hmm. Plans change.
Plans change.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the next segment that I was really excited about, I thought was great, was Kevin Owens and Elias.
Oh my lord! Well, I mean, when he come out, I was like, "This is not gonna go well," but they made it work.
I'm telling you, Elias Ezekiel has so much charisma.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Elias character never would have gotten over if it were anybody else but him. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, like. He's got it, and him and Kevin Owens work great together, verbal, like sparring. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do say that Ezekiel does look like the most basic creator wrestler ever.
That's what I thought. I seriously thought it's some jobber coming out there. Kevin Owens is gonna stun or something. And then I look at the face. I'm like, that is Elias.
No, that is Ezekiel. That is Elias's younger brother.
Ezekiel,
he's got shorter hair and no beard. There's no way that is Elias or even anything
no
like
way
Elias
at all.
Keep it kayfabe now. No, it's just. I'm sorry. It was fun. It gave me a tickle. It's kind of like Danhausen. Like, I think everybody's got certain little things or certain people that just kind of give them a tickle and you like them, even though you know that they're just complete bullshit. But at least like with Ezekiel, that was very tongue in cheek. With Danhausen, he knows he's a goofball. He's not a serious wrestler. You know, that's the difference between Danhausen and freaking Pockets is
Yeah.
Danhausen knows that he's a joke. Like, he completely understands that. Orange Cassidy, you know, would probably swear up and down that he is a serious wrestler and rah, 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 rah. Oh, well, he's one of the best guys behind the scenes, and he can really go when he gets a chance. And it's like, well, I ain't never fucking seen it. All I see is him doing the same shit with his hands in his pockets week after week.
Well, you know, I've heard, Bob, through the grapevine, that Orange Cassidy eats broccoli every day. So,
he is what he is. He eats broccoli and basil leaves.
Broccoli and basil leaves every day.
Every day. Well, that's probably why. There you go. That'll do it.
I'm sorry. I had to bring it back for one more time.
Don't eat your broccoli, kids. Actually, if there's children listening to this podcast, what are you doing? Why are you listening to us?
Yeah, turn it off.
Go tell your parents to listen to it. So the next segment, and this is one of the bad segments. Well, Veer came, and now I wish he would go home.
Did you see that Twitter title?
Yes, yes. Came hard and made on the Mysterios and made Dominic submit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, and have mercy.
Yeah. Ritter called him out for that. He was like, wait, I'm the podcast on Pornhub. That's my gimmick. You can't do that.
Oh, Matt Ritter, what an idiot.
what an AEW mark.
Yeah, what an AEW mark.
But yeah, it was never going to be as good as it was being built up to be. There was no way. But that was just atrocious. I mean, what did he do? He came in, he threw Rey Mysterio around. Well, everybody can throw Rey Mysterio around. That's not a huge accomplishment. That doesn't show very much.
And he kicked Dom, and Dom acted like he was dead at the kick. I'm like, what in the world?
And then he put him in the worst submission maneuver ever, the camel clutch. I hate that. That is the worst submission maneuver because you can't work it. There's no way to work it because your arms are pinned, your head's pinned, your legs are, you know, if it's in correctly, you might be able to wiggle your legs a little bit, but
yeah.
So there's no way to work it, and there's really no way to make it look good without actually like hurting the other person. Like, there's no way to make that submission move really look real. You know what I mean? It's the worst one ever. I mean, I would be happier if he would have just crushed Dom's head like freaking Great Khali. There you go. He crushes heads. That's what he does. Or give him the claw. Nobody uses the claw anymore.
No, they don't.
Or the heart punch. Or like something like that. Something that, you know, takes a lot of strength to do.
Heart punch would be good.
Yeah, well, you couldn't. The heart punch would never get over now because nobody would know what it was. The only person that could explain what it was would be JR or Excalibur. And JR probably would explain it, but Excalibur would interrupt him and talk about everybody that had ever done it and how popular it was in Japan and how popular they were in Japan. Now, one time in Germany, wrestled this guy who did the heart punch. And then the match would be over with, and we wouldn't have even gotten to hear from William Regal.
Welcome to the AEW commentary.
Yeah, that was something that really pissed me off. You got William Regal and JR sitting there talking, and you know, all I hear is freaking Taz and Excalibur running their gums, and I'm like, fucking seriously? You got William Regal sitting right there.
Yeah,
let's listen to William Regal because he's kind of the whole point of this. But whatever.
Yeah.
Next good segment was the NXT title match. And I remember when I said I'm glad they kept it on Dolph? Well, it's not on Dolph anymore.
Nope. But another great match, though.
Yeah, another great match for Bron Breakker. A great match for Dolph Ziggler. You know, it's great to see Dolph getting some matches where he can actually look good. You know, did you see the thing I posted? You might not have, but apparently after the match, when he came back to Gorilla, AJ was there, and AJ was like, "Oh, that's you've made a big step. That's a big step towards getting somewhere." And and Breaker was like, "Thank you, sir." And I was like, "Oh, this guy. Okay, that's good. He respects the veterans," which I think not a lot of young people do. Certain people in AEW don't.
No. And that'll get you far in WWE.
That will get you very, very far. You know.
Very far.
But, yeah, could you imagine the Young Bucks, like, blowing Taker off if he went to tell them something?
That would not end well.
Taker would have risen Yokozuna from the grave and had him beat the crap out of him. Rikishi is like, "I'll give you one more match and I'll squash both those little middle-aged kids." So this is the last thing from Raw that tickled me. And this was just something I thought of when Adam Pearce comes out when they're doing the tag match that devolved into not being in a tag match or whatever.
Yeah.
And he comes out and he's like, "There will be no countouts. There will be no disqualification. There will be lazy booking." Because
you got it right. That's what it was.
You know.
They call it? Texas Tornado?
Texas Tornado match.
Yeah.
Which it really isn't. It's just a tornado tag match. It's not a Texas Tornado.
They just put the Texas on there.
Yeah. The Texas Tornado was Kerry Von Erich, and apparently we don't talk about him. So
no,
but so that was WrestleMania weekend. The good, the bad, the disappointing, and the ugly.
Yeah. Well, it was good, bad, very ugly, very good. Yeah. Everywhere, up and down.
Like I said, there was good and bad. Like I said, night one, I think night one was a lot better than night two. Those multi-man tag matches really drug night two down. I think that might have also been because I don't know if you noticed, but even during the Edge and the AJ match, the crowd was kind of dead for that match.
They were very dead.
And I think it's because a lot of those matches that happened before that were just, you know, you had the Almost match. You had the tag matches, like everything just kind of drug and was boring and meh. So by the time they got to AJ versus Edge, they were just like, you gotta do something to excite us.
Yeah,
you know,
you gotta do something, and they didn't do nothing for him. So
They didn't really pop again until Pat McAfee came out, and then they got on their feet.
Fired up Pat McAfee.
So. Anyway, well, I guess that's it for us.
Well, I've enjoyed being back once again.
It's good to have you back. You'll be back again, I'm sure, at some point.
Maybe.
Well, there you go.
Maybe
see,
you'll drag me back go. In somehow. I'll pull an Undertaker. Never say never.
Oh, God. Let's see. We've got LWF this Saturday and every Saturday at 9, 8 Central on my Twitch channel, which you can find through my Twitter handle at Back to the Ring. You can find D-Rod at the D-Rod, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Do you got anything coming up, D-Rod?
Well, me and Gear going to do a few more episodes of A Door Takes Manhattan. We're going to do a few more horror movie episodes for that podcast. And then I'm going to hit the retirement button again.
He's hitting the retirement button. Yeah, we were promised one final WWC show, but I don't think that one's ever going to happen.
The true CEO is taking his paychecks and
he's taking his talents to South Beach is what he's doing. Yeah, I see how you are. Taking his talents to the LWF where he does nothing but cause trouble for me. That's all right. That's all right.
That's what I was born to do, is cause trouble.
That's all right. This is the feud that'll never end, the McMahon and Austin of the LWF. More like the Bischoff. More like the Bischoff and McMahon. What?
I always had you in that. I said, we're going to build up Bob, the NWO main spokesperson. We're going to turn him around. Syndicate, turn on me. That'll be our rivalry from now on.
Yep.
And it happened.
Mm-hmm. Now I just got to get those tag belts off of you and Dave. You guys had them too long. You're running through all of my baby faces. You're bringing through all my heels. I'm tired of it. I want my tag belts back. I want them back off of you imposters.
Well, Dave, he's an imposter for sure. Even though he's my tag partner, you know, he's still an imposter.
Well, I guess I'll have to tell him you said that then.
Go right ahead. He's the Bama imposter.
He's the Bama imposter.
The Bama imposter.
Mbamster.
You heard it first here, folks. On Back to the Ring.
So, anyway, that's it for us this week. Go back and watch or listen to our archived episodes. And don't forget to check me out at Back to the Ring on Twitter for all of my hot takes. And if you want to get pissed off at me, then I'll argue with you there.
Broccoli and basil leaf. That's all you got to say.
Don't even get me started about the broccoli and basil leaf. So,
it's been fun.
It's been fun. And it's been real. And in the words of the immortal Tully Blanchard, it's been your pleasure. Good night.